As we move to God's Word, let us pray. Holy Spirit, by your mysterious power, speak to us your truth and show us your wisdom, that we may know you more deeply and serve you more faithfully. As your word is read and proclaimed, may it find fertile soil in our lives for the sake of Jesus Christ. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading chapter 4, verses 26 through 34. Jesus also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe, at once he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? It is like a mustard seed, which, when sown upon the ground, is the smallest of all the seeds on earth. Yet when it is sown, it grows up and becomes the greatest of all shrubs and puts forth large branches so that the birds of the air can make nests in its shade." With many such parables, he spoke the word to them, and they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
You're late. Ezra, do you know that quote? Do you remember that quote? What's it from? Lord of the Rings, Fellowship of the Ring, right? It's from one of the opening scenes in this opening book of this huge 1,000-word trilogy that takes place in the land of Middle Earth and in the imagination of Tolkien. I think it's that quote. It's not in the book, right? Just the movie? Is that right? Yeah, okay. Ezra's if you have any Lord of the Rings questions, feel free to ask Ezra after the service. Frodo Baggins, the young hobbit, he confronts Gandalf the wizard. "You're late." You see, Frodo's uncle Bilbo was throwing a party. And not just any old party, but a birthday party in which hobbits from all over were invited, even the ones that Bilbo wasn't too keen on. You see, it was Bilbo's 111st birthday. And as you can imagine, as you well know, 111st birthdays are a big deal. It's no small feat to turn 111 years old. And so if you want to throw a big deal kind of party, wizards are especially handy to have around. Because as everyone knows, I don't have to tell you, but I'll say it anyway, as everyone knows, they bring the best fireworks. "You're late," Frodo accuses Gandalf. To which Gandalf, sternly, but with a twinkle in his eyes, responds, "A wizard is never late, Frodo Baggins. Nor is he early. He arrives precisely when he means to." This morning, we continue in Mark's gospel account as we follow along. We're following along here in these coming weeks with the lectionary gospel readings each Sunday. And this week, we have here a few parables. A few parables about the kingdom of God, which is what most of Jesus' parables are about. And since we left off last week, if you remember last week there at the end of chapter 3 with Jesus at home and the crowds and family and his family and the scribes all around and all those accusations flying around, well, since then, Jesus has been teaching in parables throughout chapter 4. And he's used the sowing of seeds a couple of times now. He starts off with the one that maybe we tend to be most familiar with the sowing of seeds on a variety of different sorts of grounds. He's talked about lamps being put under bushel baskets. And he's taken some time to explain some of these parables, at least to his disciples. But he's also said some strange things about the parables. He's also said that he speaks in parables, not always to make things clearer, but actually maybe even to make things a little more mysterious. And these two parables here, about the seed that is growing and the farmer who is just off alternately sleeping and rising, and the one about the mustard seed, they come in, as part of this line and this series of parables that Jesus has been telling. And so here he says, the kingdom of God is as if, it's as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and then would go and sleep and rise night and day. And the seed would sprout and grow, and he, the farmer, doesn't know how. And the kingdom is also like a mustard seed, sown upon the ground as the smallest of seeds, yet it grows up to become the greatest of all shrubs, with the birds making nests in the shade of its branches. You know, I think sometimes when we think of parables, we think of them as children's stories, as ways to make things really simple, which maybe sometimes they are. And we tend to think of the reason that Jesus told the parables was to give a formula that would maybe make things crystal clear for us, and a bit of wisdom to get us through the day, or a way to help clear up a difficult theological concept, to make things way more accessible, maybe even to make things more reasonable to believe. And in some ways, that might be true. But it seems, at least here, in other ways, we have these weird things that Jesus says about teaching in parables, don't we? Earlier in this chapter, after the seed parable about all the different types of ground the seed is scattered on, some that land on the path, others rocky ground, others thorns, and then still others on good soil, right? You remember that parable. After he tells this, Jesus says, for those outside, everything comes in parables, in order that they may indeed look but not perceive, and may indeed listen but not understand. And at the end of our passage this morning, after all these parables, Mark comments, with many such parables, Jesus spoke the word to them as they were able to hear it. He did not speak to them except in parables, but he explained everything in private to his disciples, almost like without Jesus explaining to this small group of people, nobody's going to really understand what these parables are about. It seems there's a sense in which the parables are meant not to rationalize and make God easier to understand, but in fact possibly to even make things more mysterious, to make hearing not more accessible, but maybe even less, and requiring, in a sense, more effort from us. That they're not so much the giving of easy answers, but maybe they're more like inviting us into something, into the good and better questions that Jesus has come to raise. And these parables here, I think they really speak to that. In fact, in some ways, that seems to be the very point of these parables. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and then would go and sleep and rise night and day. And all the while, the seed would sprout and grow. But he doesn't know how. He's not aware of it. He's busy sleeping, waking up, going about his day, then going back to sleep. And the kingdom of God is like a farmer that just goes to sleep when he's tired, right? Who can get behind a parable like that? Except, of course, this parable is less about the farmer's activity, at least at first. The farmer's just doing his thing for most of the time, going about his business. Because really, it's about what's going on with the seed. Quietly, subversively, in and under, behind the scenes, unseen even, under the ground, the seed is still doing its thing. Until the very end, when the time is ripe, and the farmer is aware. He's aware and he sees when the time for the harvest has come. But until then, even though it may look like nothing is going on, life is happening. And not just any old life, but new, exciting, fruitful, flourishing life, because the seed has within itself the full measure of what it will become, even when it looks like nothing. Even when it looks like nothing but dead ground. The kingdom of God is like this. We may want the harvest now, but that's not the way of seeds. We may want already grown and blooming store-bought plants, and there's nothing wrong with those, but that's not the way of God's kingdom. We might look around and say to God and God's kingdom, "You're late." But the harvest is never late, nor is it early. Like a wizard bringing all the best fireworks to a party, it arrives precisely when it means to. And it arrives and is arriving in all sorts of ways that we might not even be able to see. But if we are attentive, if we are familiar with what sorts of stalks, heads, and grains that God's kingdom is about, then maybe, maybe we too, like the farmer, can rest easy. Because yes, we are called into a life of sowing, but we are also called into a life of knowing that it is God who is at work in the seeds. And we know that it is God at work, not just in our days, but in our nights. Not just in our waking hours, but in our sleeping hours as well. And if we are attuned like a farmer to the things of seeds and the things of God, if we are practiced, you might say, in recognizing the fruit, the healing and the freeing, the forgiveness and the redemption, the welcoming and feeding, all these things of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, the things of loving God and loving neighbor, the blessings of repentance and trust in the good news that the kingdom is near, all these things Jesus has been going around teaching and proclaiming and doing, well, then I suspect that we will, like a good farmer, be able to recognize the shoots even when they are just beginning to peek up out of the ground. Even when we're not quite sure exactly how they got there. But trusting and knowing that God is yet at work. And therefore, no doubt knowing when the harvest is ripe. When it is the time for resting in the ordinary rhythms of life. And when it is the time to jump into something new. But we will also know that we are at the same time to be mindful of the seeds that we sow. For as Jesus makes clear here, the seed produces of itself. What we sow matters in God's kingdom. For much like parables, seeds, as one commentator noted here, a seed once planted is a mystery being revealed. And that is certainly what the kingdom of God is like. It is the very work of God and the very thing that God calls us to be a part of, to be a part of sowing in the world. The kingdom is indeed a mystery being revealed because it is also like a mustard seed. Idiomatically speaking, the smallest thing, the smallest, tiniest thing, yet when sown, it grows up. It becomes the greatest of all shrubs. And the birds of the air can make nests in its shade. So here's another mystery of the kingdom of God. A shrub. A shrub. If I were telling this parable, it would end with a mighty oak, or even better, an ancient redwood tree, right? Its life spanning countless generations, tens of feet in diameter and hundreds of feet high. The kingdom of God, I would say, is like a tall, proud, strong, and sturdy, no question about it, and every appearance confirming its ability to endure. I would not have said the kingdom of God is like a shrub. Greatest of all shrubs or not, still. Really, Jesus? A shrub? Yet here we are, the mystery of God's kingdom. Parables, you see, are not meant to give us easy answers, but to invite us into the unfolding mystery of God's work in the world. A mystery that sometimes looks like nothing's actually happening, and yet it is. A mystery that at once invites us to both work with urgent expectation like the farmer and to rest with deep assurance and trust in the Lord. A mystery that bids us both to pray, Lord, how long? And also at the same time to take heart that God's kingdom is never late, nor is it early, but it always arrives precisely when and how it means to. And an unfolding mystery that shows up even as a shrub. And yet, in its branches, creation finds shade and security. On the outside, sometimes, maybe even often, looking spindly and weak and tangled up and all too vulnerable. And yet, Jesus says, within its branches, life is flourishing. It is not for us to make the kingdom come. The kingdom is already near. It is not for us to make the kingdom come. It is simply for us to faithfully scatter the seeds of faith, hope, and love, seeds of loving God and loving neighbor, seeds of forgiveness and repentance, seeds of casting out the spirits that torment and injure while welcoming in the tormented and injured. Seeds of the good news of Jesus Christ. Ours is not to make it grow. It is already near. But simply to sow the seeds, trusting and resting in the assurance that the seeds of God's kingdom have all they need within themselves to take root. And then to look for all the places where the kingdom is there taking root, even in the easily overlooked and discounted shrubs. To look for the shade and protection and the flourishing of life happening there in its branches. So we might hear these parables of Jesus and simply ask ourselves, what is it that we are sowing? Where are we assuming the kingdom is to be found, and where might it actually be sprouting up, even in those easy to overlook places? Are we spending our days and nights trying to make it happen, or are we able to simply do what God calls us to do and then trust Jesus when he says the kingdom is already near? So repent and believe, trust in this good news. A seed once planted is a mystery being revealed. So it is with the kingdom of God. And Jesus is inviting us into this mystery. This mystery that has drawn near and come near to us, not to control, not that we would control it or use it, not to force it or even be able to wrap our heads around it. Anything we can fully explain, right, often just ends up being something we can explain away. No, Jesus is inviting us into something different, inviting us into the experience of seeing the mystery of his kingdom unfolding and growing and being revealed all around us in all the tender and unassuming and yet profoundly miraculous ways that it pushes up and through and in, even in the places we forgot about. Because maybe the kingdom of God is indeed like being invited into a good and unfolding, nourishing, cultivating, and growing life-giving mystery. A mystery that takes root, first and foremost, not so much in our heads, but in our hearts. A mystery inviting us to look and to wonder. Sometimes to stand back and to all we do is just look and wonder at what God is doing. To work and to rest. To long desperately for and at the same time to know that God is at work and the kingdom is arriving precisely when and where and how it means to. So we might hear these parables and find ourselves going away, chewing on, thinking about, wrestling with, meditating on where is the soil of God's kingdom here in our time and our place. Where might God be calling Calvin Presbyterian Church to sow seeds? Where might God be calling me to sow seeds? And where even might it be that we are being called to simply rest and trust that God is at work in and through and under, even when we don't yet see the shoots sprouting up? And where might we find, if we know to look, the shoots that are already breaking through what we might be missing because we're not looking with kingdom cultivated eyes? And where might we look and see the shrubs of God's kingdom, the places that perhaps don't look like much to brag about, but are yet there in their branches, places of shade and flourishing for God's creation? Friends, believe the good news. Trust in the good news. Rest in the good news. The kingdom of God is near. And it is like someone scattering seed on the ground and then who goes to sleep and rise night and day, and the seed sprouts and grows though he doesn't know how. And the kingdom is like a mustard seed, which when sown upon the ground is the smallest of all seeds, and yet when it is sown, it grows and becomes the greatest of all shrubs, and the birds of the air can make their nests in the shade of its branches. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so in our rising and in our resting, in our sowing and in our waiting, and in our harvesting, let us trust and marvel in the work of God, the good, gracious, loving, and mysterious work of God, who is our good gardener, and who might even be bringing, with a twinkle in his eye, the best fireworks for the harvest celebration. Friends, this is the good news of Jesus Christ, the kingdom that is near. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And amen.